So let me ask you guys a question. What do you treasure? Now, this kind of sounds like the beginning of a sales pitch, like, if you invest $100, then this will happen. Well, that's not what I mean. Like, what do you treasure? What matters most to you? You may think of something like time spent with your family or your car. Maybe you treasure your vehicle or your house. Maybe financial security is really important to you. Maybe it's just time to yourself, away from the kids. That's something that you treasure. That's good for you. Maybe it's education. You value education very highly. Maybe what you treasure are the Dallas Cowboys. You know what they say. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Sorry, I'm a Bears fan. When I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, around there, too old, what I treasured most was my fedora hat, my Indiana Jones hat. It was a replica Indiana Jones hat. I had been super into Star Wars, and Han Solo was my favorite character. He was played by an actor named Harrison Ford. And when I found out that Harrison Ford, my favorite character in Star Wars, he had a whole film franchise called Indiana Jones, I became obsessed. And I, like, Indy, he was smart, he was heroic, he was tough, he was good with the ladies, and I just wanted to be just like him, so I got a hat just like him. It was a replica hat, and I treasured it. I wore it everywhere I went. I wore it to Walmart, I wore it to my friend's house. I wore it everywhere, and I wouldn't take it off for anything. We'd have some 100-degree days outside, and I kept that thing on. It was a wool hat. It was hot. You could see sweat rings on it. It stained it. It was disgusting. My parents were way too nice. It was disgusting. Now, you can tell I was a really cool kid, huh, growing up. Your kids would have been the kids that bullied me if we were the same age. Well, your kids still bully me. In fact, last week they made fun of my haircut. I walked in and they went, "Pastor Matt, you're chopped, your head's bald." And I'm like, "Oh, you gotta be kidding me." If you don't have kids that age, don't worry about it. It was mean. But we all treasure something. As silly as some of those things I just said were, we all treasure something. There's something that we all consider to be important in our life. In fact, the Bible even says in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It's usually not even that hard to tell what that may be in a person's life, what the thing is that they treasure. For some, it's experiences. For some, it's material things. For some, maybe it's status or title. You can tell because they do that thing all the time. They're super involved in it. They post about it on social media. They can't stop talking about it. Sometimes it's not even something that's treasure for you. Sometimes it's experiences and things for your kids that you treasure. You want your kids to have those things in their lives. I keep coming back to this kind of experiences and things thing because I've always heard that most people value, as far as material things go, either experiences or things that they value. If you're an experienced person, you value things like traveling or eating fancy food or having fun over actually having a material thing. If you're a things person, you probably value new clothes, a car, things you can keep and hold, some stuff like cash. That's what you value. If you want to know which one I am, I'm more of a things person because, unlike Indiana Jones, I am very unadventurous. That me wanting to be like Indiana Jones, it was never happening. I'm a homebody. That was not going to happen. But we all have something that we value, what we consider most important in our life. Our treasure is where our heart is. We need to make sure that we value the right things for us and our families. Because if we have the wrong priorities, it can really hurt us. It can really hurt our family. It can really hurt our relationships, especially our relationship with the Lord. So, what are the right things? What should be our treasure? So, we're actually going to look at a parable Jesus told in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And I'm just going to read it straight through. I'm actually going to grab my Bible and read out of there. So if you have your Bible, you're going to want to flip to this because we're going to be looking at this some tonight. But it goes like this. Jesus, he was teaching as he often did, and then this happened. "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? So what he's saying here is, I'm not your lawyer. Like, that's not what I'm doing here. That's not what this is for. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have made goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, I'm retiring. I've got it going good. I'm set. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And I want you to really keep in mind that last verse we just read, because it's going to be important tonight. Jesus is giving us a simple teaching here. Whatever you have, you will lose the moment you die. Material, worldly things are not what matter in life. We talk about this all the time, like right now in our culture. We talk about the wealthy, the powerful, the elite, and love them or hate them. Most of us have thoughts on the wealthy and the powerful. We think things sometimes even like, man, if I had that kind of money, if I were in their shoes, this is what I would do. This is what God told that wealthy guy. You're a fool. All you have stored up is here, and you have nothing towards God. He has all this stuff, this guy that in this parable, he has all this stuff. He's built a great life, but this very night, he's going to lose his life, and it will all have been for nothing. What a waste. The same is true for all those million, billion, gajillionaires that we love to talk about, that we envy even sometimes. And the same, and if the same is true for them, the same is true for you. A life where you weren't rich towards God is a wasted life. One day, we're all going to die. Unless, you know, the rapture happens, which was apparently supposed to be last week, by the way, if you didn't know that. And we missed it, okay? So we're in trouble here. But we're all going to die one day. You can have a life full of things, full of experiences, full of wealth, full of fun and power, but the day you die, all you stored up will be gone. It almost seems like a waste that we have to die and lose all we own, doesn't it? A successful life is not measured by the year of your car, the size of your house, how many zeros you have at the end of your paycheck, the tax bracket you're in. True success, true wealth is measured by whether you were rich towards God. Material things don't matter. What matters is the life you live for the Lord. It doesn't mean that you should be frivolous, that, you know, with your finances, you just go, okay, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to go crazy. I'm just going to spend it all and be done with it. You should still be a good steward of what God blesses you with. Material things are just not what's most important in this life. It reminds me of something else Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, you may be thinking, what does that mean? How do I store up for myself stuff in heaven? How do I do that? Can I FedEx it there? Can I make an investment up there? How does this work? Recently, we did a whole series in the kids' ministry with our elementary age kids called X Marks the Spot, and it was a pirate theme. It was this whole goofy thing, but it was over this passage, and we had the kids do all sorts of goofy things. We would go up and have them repeat and go, yar, hunt eternal treasure, not temporary treasure, and it's kind of clunky. Don't worry about it. I won't make you do it, okay? But the point was, for kids to understand what matters most are eternal things, not earthly things. This is something that kids need to learn, to not get hung up on our material possessions. Our joy and our satisfaction doesn't come from temporary earthly things. This is something that's, honestly, I was kind of thinking about this and figuring out how to convey this to you, and I was thinking, man, this is kind of easier to teach to kids. Even kids, you know, they kind of get a rep that they're selfish and all that, and, you know, kids, they're learning to be unselfish, but kids don't have much. Everything they have pretty much belongs to their parents still. Adults, though, us, we have too much to lose. And losing it all is a scary thought. But to a Christian who values things to the things of God, death is a promotion. It's not a loss. We get to spend eternity in God's presence, and that's better than anything money can get you. There are many Christians today who are too concerned with worldly things and don't care to be rich toward God. They want the blessings of God, but they don't serve, they don't tithe, they don't spend time with Him. They're not rich towards God. If you want a life that is truly meaningful, then start focusing on storing your riches up in heaven. Be rich toward the Lord. Something that, kind of coming back to the whole thing, we talk about rich people all the time nowadays, is we like to talk about their net worth, how much they're worth, like the total amount of their value. And we talk about how this rich guy is richer than this rich guy, and how this rich guy got richer than this rich guy, and yada, 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 and we go on and on and on. The Lord isn't impressed by any of that. The only net worth that you should be concerned about is your own in heaven. The Bible tells us we're all going to be rewarded for what we did on this earth. 1 Corinthians 3:8 tells us this. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. In other words, what it's saying is they have the same purpose. It's different people serving different ways, same purpose. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. If Jesus Christ is Lord over your life and you believe he rose from the grave, then you're saved. It's by grace, it's by the grace of God that we receive salvation freely. But we'll all receive our own reward in heaven. We're not all going to be rewarded equally. That's something that's really difficult for us to understand, especially if you've never heard that before. This may be kind of new to you. It's a very American idea that if you make it into heaven, we all live in this utopia where everyone has the same experience and every earthly thing you ever wanted is there. And there's beautiful angel women who come down and feed you grapes and give you massages and all that stuff. No, no, no. That's wrong. That is not what it is. There are not beautiful angel women in heaven, I don't think, okay? But there are going to be different rewards according to how you serve the Lord. I don't know what those rewards are exactly. Maybe they're more crowns for us, and maybe we'll lay them down at the feet of the Lord, like the 24 elders in Revelation 4. I don't know what it is. But what I do know is this, that if what matters most to you is what you can acquire in the here and now, then you have your reward already, and it's a temporary one. This isn't salvation by works, by the way. This isn't we're getting saved by the good we do. This is something separate. I'm not saying you're not saved, but Scripture does say that faith by itself is dead, and we should show our faith by our works, the good that we do. So, what does it look like to be rich toward God? How can we store up treasure in heaven for ourselves? Well, we're going to talk about two ways that we do these things. And first, we're going to talk about the outside, what this looks like on the outside of us. And then we're going to talk about what it looks like on the inside of us. So first, let's talk about the outside. 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19 tells us this. Command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. And I'm going to read that last verse again in the NIV where it words a little bit differently. It says it like this: in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Here's how you can be rich towards God and store up treasure in heaven. Do good. Be rich in good works. Be a giver. Be someone who shares with others. This applies to all of us, whether you're rich or not. We all have resources. We all have abilities. We all have time that we can give to others for Christ. We see in the book of Acts where Christians, they were actually selling their houses and their properties to give to those who were in need. Who does that? That's crazy. Can you imagine doing that? Because I can't. That's why I rent, because property is too expensive and I don't have to sell my house and give it to everyone. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. That's a joke. No, seriously, I do rent. Who gives away all that they have? Someone who knows that the reward they'll receive up there is better than anything they could have here. Sorry, when you say reward again and again, that there, the reward, it kind of gets jumbled in your mouth. But anyway, so here's what I want you to hear. Do good. Speak good to others. Be a good friend. Bless others. Love your enemies. Serve others. Serve good. Do good to the mean mother-in-law. That must be double reward, right? Like, yeah, I don't have that problem, okay? Tithe good. I don't necessarily mean tithe in large amounts by tithe good, like the preacher on TV told you to do so he can buy his fourth jet. That's not what I mean. I mean good as in consistently. Be a good tither. Tithe your 10%. Let me just say this. Tithing is important. It's something that we do in obedience to the Lord. There are plenty of statistics out there right now about how most Christians do not tithe. I've even heard pastors say before, people get saved, but their wallets don't. And, you know, there's some truth to that. Some people can't imagine parting with their money if they don't see the direct benefit. They'll say things like, I don't give because I don't know where my money is going and it feels like I lost it. In fact, a couple months ago, I actually had a kid come up to me and they were upset with me because I didn't give them candy at the end of the service. And they told me, my mom says that we give enough money to the church that you should have candy for us. Yeah, I'm not kidding. That happened. And I just went, hey, shut up, go away. And here's what I want you to know. One, it's not your money. It's the Lord's money. Two, you don't lose that money. It's being stored in heaven for you. Matthew 10:42 tells us this. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth. He will certainly not lose his reward. Everything you keep here on this earth, you will lose. Everything you give away sticks with you. This isn't just a money thing. You should serve good too. People have all sorts of reasons for not serving the Lord. Sometimes we're waiting for the perfect time, or we want to be asked to serve in the perfect way so we get motivated and all this stuff. Maybe it's even something like this. When the kids get older, when work is less busy, when the sports season is over, I'll really do something for God then. Let me tell you this. There's never a perfect time to serve the Lord. I have been serving my entire life, and I can't remember a time that I didn't. I remember there was a season that was especially hard in my life to serve. I was working two jobs. I was commuting to college an hour away in an old beater car, driving down I-35, and that thing broke down all the time on the highway at the worst times. And you know, an hour on I-35, That's like time travel, but in the wrong way. An hour turns into an hour 30, 2 hours real fast on I-35. And I was a young adult guy, college guy, and all I wanted to do was be home playing video games. I did not want to have to do another thing. But I still showed up faithfully every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, because my treasure isn't found here. It's there. I'm thankful for everyone who serves here at our church, our kids workers, our youth workers, our greeters, our media team. It goes on and on and on. But they just do such a phenomenal work. They're coming here. They're sacrificing their time that they could be doing something else to be serving the Lord here. I love people like, I'm going to brag on him a little bit, on Will Dillard. If you know him, he's a firefighter. And he shows up Sunday morning, a lot of the times coming straight from the fire station. His eyes are bloodshot. He hasn't slept. He has a Coca-Cola in his hand. And he's ready to wrangle up five-year-olds. That's awesome. That's amazing. Now, don't hear me wrong. I understand that that things happen, that sickness happens, that a family member needs help and needs care, and that prevents you from being able to serve in a different capacity. A lot of the times, taking care of a sick family member, that's a ministry in and of itself. But everything that you can give, be rich toward God. It's not about the amount you have to give away, or the talent, or the ability you have to serve. The Lord doesn't need superstars. He's not impressed by it either. In Mark 12, there's this story where Jesus, he watches as these people, they're giving large amounts of money to the temple. When this poor widow, she comes up, and she drops 2 coins, pick, pick, in it, worth only a few cents. And then he calls over his disciples and he says this to them, Mark 12, 43, 44. I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty. But in everything, all she had to live on. I remember when I got my very first paycheck. I was working at a barbecue place and I was making minimum wage. I made the paycheck, everything. It was less than $150. I remember that. And everything's kind of out of sorts. It's been a while. We've had a lot of inflation. It was probably closer to 100 than 150. But my point is, it wasn't very much. And I remember what I spent that first paycheck on. I first gave 10% in the tithe, very first paycheck. And then the rest of that paycheck, I used to buy a suit jacket that I found in the kids section on sale at JCPenney and some dress shoes so that I could go to a formal that my girlfriend was having at her school. And I was so disappointed to spend my entire first paycheck just like that. It was gone. All that money was just gone. But it wasn't the tithe part that I was disappointed about. That part was the Lord's. That was already not even in my mind. That part didn't even exist to me. I was upset about the clothes. Now, it worked out, let me tell you. We got married, so it's all good now. So it all worked out. But here's what I want you to hear. God wants what little you have to offer. And you don't have to worry about whether it's enough for the Lord. Be rich towards God. Give him what you have. Your money, your talent, your ability, your time, your willingness, give it to the Lord. He'll take that. He wants that. He needs that. So, that's the outside. We want to serve good. The inside, here's where it gets a little bit different. It's not just what you do on the outside that matters. The inside matters too in our reward. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. The Lord searches the heart and examines the mind. Our motives and intentions matter to him. He's not impressed by a performance. In fact, we see that in Matthew 23:25-26, where Jesus said this, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Who wants to eat from a dish that only looks clean and then on the inside it's crusty and gross and whatever the last person ate was in there? No, that's gross. If I get that at a restaurant, I'm sending it back. I don't want that. In fact, my wife and I have this conversation frequently where one of us will be doing the dishes and she'll get upset because I made the sponge dirty. Like, what? The sponge dirty? But the sponge's job is to get dirty, to get the dirt off. That's how the dishes get clean, right? Does anyone else have this problem, or is this just me that your wife gets upset when you get the sponge dirty? Okay. I want the dish clean inside and outside. I don't care how I'm getting to it. I'm getting that sponge dirty. These people, they perform on the outside, but on the inside, they lack integrity. Matthew 6:5, we see it again. Jesus said this, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." If you're playing Christianity, you're going through the motions, but not living it out in your private life, that's no good. That's not how it's supposed to be. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be a performative Christian. We need to lead a life of integrity, be the same through and through. We should all aspire to be like King David, where the Bible describes him as a man after God's own heart. He definitely sinned. He did some horrible things, but it's what he did later that revealed his character. David repented. He asked for forgiveness. He asked that the Lord not take his Holy Spirit from him. David really loved the Lord more than anything. Even after all that wrong, it's still in the Bible that David was a man after God's own heart. Most of us have never taken someone else's spouse and gotten a man killed like David. But a lot of us don't have a heart that is truly submitted to the Lord. That we love, some of us, we love other things more than we love him. And that's not how it should be. We worry more about material things and what people think than what the Lord thinks. We need to count the cost and decide if living for Jesus really is enough for us. Not just when others are watching or when you repost a verse on social media or whatever, when everyone else is seeing. We need to decide that Jesus really is Lord, inside and out. Outside and inside, we need to serve the Lord. Outside and inside, we need to do good. I think we're going to be surprised by who we see in heaven and what rewards they've received. There are going to be some that were loud and fiery about God, but who are going to make it with nothing because they weren't the same on the inside as they were on the outside. Something that I've felt really bothered by the past year or two is most of you have probably read this on either social media or in the news, all these high-profile pastors getting caught up in scandals and having to leave their ministries, and even it's even started happening with Christian music artists, and it's this whole thing, and you see all their success, all their booming ministries, only to find that they can't pass the heart test. They have no integrity. Success does not mean a person has integrity. The greatest compliment I've ever received from my wife isn't, "You're so handsome, you're so funny, your muscles are so big." Although, I don't know why I don't get those more often. Like, why is that? I don't hear that enough. It's this. This is the greatest compliment she's ever given me. That you're the same through and through in your public and your private life. Integrity should be everything to us as believers. It matters a lot to the Lord. Amen. Parents, can I say this? Where you put your treasure is a matter of integrity. And whether your kids will live a life of integrity will be determined by where they see you put your treasure. If you pay lip service about how important God is, but that's not reflected in your life, then that's worse than had you said nothing at all. There are too many parents that don't value their kids' spiritual lives. They're more interested in making their kids happy on earth than preparing them for eternity. You know, you hear things like, man, you don't understand. They're going to get scholarships from this. It's going to set them up. I just want them to have what I didn't have in my life. That, none of that's bad. That's not what I'm saying. That stuff's not wrong. But if you prioritize all these other things over having your family at church, serving, growing in the Lord, then that's storing up treasure on earth. Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, that's pretty small, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Your kids could have it all. They could be rich in experience. They could be rich in things. They could be rich in medals and trophies. But if they don't have a relationship with the Lord, they have nothing meaningful. If the things you give them, the activities you provide them, the extracurriculars they're involved in, the devices you allow in your kids' lives are keeping them from growing in the Lord, then you need to reevaluate. It gets harder the older they get, but sometimes kids just need to be told no. And by the way, just as a quick side thing, I see it again and again when kids get unrestricted access to a phone before sixth grade, that their interest in church just tanks. And it's not because of anything we're doing or not doing. They've just discovered worldly things. And church can't compete. Now, I don't know about after sixth grade. I don't have stats on that. That's Pastor Jonathan's problem, okay? It's probably not too different. I'm really thankful for grandparents that stand in the gap and make an effort to bring their grandkids to church. They're making a difference. Their treasure is up there. I'm not trying to shame anyone. There's plenty of that already. I know it. I hear it from you parents. I see it. I read it. There's so much stuff about what your kids should and shouldn't eat and the medicines they should take and shouldn't take and the schools they should attend and the leagues they need to be a part of so that they make it big and da-da-da and da-da-da. But if there's anything you should go all out on for your kids, it's their spiritual life. Let them see you serve. Let them see you do good. Say no sometimes and have integrity. Too often, we let other things become more important than the Lord in our life. I know it's not always intentional. Sometimes it's a drift. We don't even realize it's happening in the moment. But we need to reevaluate if we find ourselves drifted away. You may need to say no to some things. You may need to have some hard conversations with your spouse. Conversations, not arguing. Be quick to listen, okay? You may need to disappoint your kids even. There's nothing more important, more lasting, more fulfilling than to serve the Lord. Store up your treasure in heaven. Be rich toward God. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight. Maybe you feel a tug at your heart. Maybe he brought something to your mind. Don't fight him. Obey him. Listen to that. You may have to give up some things you don't want to give up. You may have to make some changes that are going to be uncomfortable. But to pursue the Lord in obedience to him, it's worth it every single time. Maybe you're listening tonight and you've never decided to make Jesus Lord of your life, or you realize that you've never even really been all in, or maybe lately you're going, man, I have not been committed to the Lord the way I should be. Here's what I want you to hear. It's never too late. The Lord does not hold that against you. give your life to him. Be all in for him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read one more verse that I just want to leave you with, and Pastor Mark is going to come up, and he'll finish us out. But I just want you to really hear these words. Our life is not meant for temporary earthly things. Our prize, our eye, is on something eternal, something greater than what we could ever have here, what the world could ever provide. The same is true for you, the same is true for your kids, the same is true for your whole family. Fix your eyes on him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time we get to come here. We get to hear your word, even though sometimes it's tough and that change is demanding. I pray that you would help every single one of us to listen to your Holy Spirit. That if you're convicting anyone in this room, Lord, that they need to make a change, that they would listen, that they would obey. I pray that you would help every single one of us to not store treasures down here, but to store treasures up there with you. That we would be rich towards you in everything that we do. That everything that we would do, it would be right in your eyes, Lord. That we would have integrity. That we would do good on the outside. That we would serve good. That on the inside, we would be people who truly are for you, who truly follow you, who truly are followers of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, and I pray that you would just transform us from the inside out. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And let me just leave you with this, church. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.